This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. This summer, we've been presenting a travel series that we call $100 of Gas. Simple concept. We send a writer off from home base to a place they can get to and from on $100 worth of fuel.
Today, we present the final story in our series. It's from NPR's Netta Ulaby. She lives in Washington, D.C., and she went on a trip with her sister and her mother.
My mother, Marianne Hammond, came to the nation's capital not really to visit me, her daughter, but for a Peace Corps training session. But before my 60-year-old mom shipped out to Jordan for 2 years, we went with my sister on an all-American road trip, thanks to gas from the Middle East.
Okay, for 9.5 gallons of gas, we're paying $30.26.
When you drive through the District of Columbia in the midst of a sweltering day, the monuments shimmer in the heat. And thanks to gridlock, there's ample time to admire them and converse with fellow motorists.
Yes? You want me to go right over her? What do you want?
My mild-mannered mother finds honking gratuitous and impolite.
What did you want me to do?
I wasn't blowing at you, I was blowing at him.
Inching right along, we pass the new Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, currently under construction, and then we get lost. I should mention we're less than a mile from my house.
You know what? We're going the wrong way.
Yeah. 395 left Glenny.
US 50.
Thanks to my sister Aziza, we're soon grooving along Maryland's pristine highways, en route to Chincoteague. That's a tiny island off Virginia's eastern shore, refreshingly underdeveloped and clinging to what's left of its fishing industry. It's also the setting of a classic kids' book from 1947 called Misty of Chincoteague, about two kids who tame one of the wild little ponies that inhabit a neighboring island called Assateague. It became a film in 1961.
It makes me sad the way she keeps looking off at Assateague.
She's just not used to civilization yet.
There's a dramatic shift in landscape soon after crossing the monumental suspension bridge arching over the Chesapeake Bay. At 4.3 miles, it's one of the longest and most scenic overwater structures in the world.
We just came down out of these little hills, and then it was very flat and coastal all of a sudden. Little inlets with boats. We're on the coast.
And we're hungry, so we start talking about food.
My goal is to try some kind of seafood. There wasn't a whole lot of seafood growing up in El Paso, Texas. Maybe a clam, a flounder.
But a shortage of crab shacks on this stretch of the Maryland Highway stymie mom's ambitions.
There's a taqueria.
You know, taqueria doesn't sound too bad.
Yeah, it does sound good.
I cannot believe we're doing this.
My Texan mother is reflexively critical of Mexican food cooked beyond 50 miles of the Mexican border, but she was impressed by our lunch.
I have to admit, you guys made a great choice. The Chesapeake Bay Mexican food was delicious. Your tacos al pastor, that barbecued pork ones, were delicious, Netta. And it seemed like they must be...
You just hit a car.
That's right. My mother hit a car. But incredibly, that car was so dented and rusty, the owner told her not to worry. Still, it wasn't long before the next road trip debacle.
Oh, there's a cop that's...
We got pulled over on a scenic stretch near Cambridge, Maryland, a famous stop on the Underground Railroad, where there have been sightings of a ghost slave named Big Liz. It may have been her supernatural interference, but Mom's luck held.
Ma'am, I'm going to bestow a little mercy on you. This is a written warning for the speed violation. No points, no fine.
Oh, man. That was so awesome.
How did that happen? I mean...
A written warning. Let's read about this. An important message for you. Oh, my God, he gave you a brochure of how to not do that.
When you get close to Chincoteague, at the legal speed, the grass turns marshy and you pass a field of enormous satellite dishes, part of a NASA center that works with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency to track hurricanes, rockets, and the space shuttle. There's even a NASA radio station with terrible reception. Chincoteague, year-round population 4,000, is dotted with mom-and-pop motels, homemade donut shops, and duck decoy emporiums. At twilight, on a fairground near the docks, the annual carnival offers crab sandwiches, a modest assortment of rides, handmade pony-themed quilts, and games of chance. There, you can mingle with the locals.
They call me the Duck Man.
The Duck Man?
Yep, I've been carving decoys for 37 years. Ornamental ducks and hunting decoys and geese and swans.
Rotary is also an officer for the local volunteer firemen's association, which runs the carnival. It's part of the festivities leading up to Chincoteague's hotly anticipated pony swim. That's when all the firemen and women, known as salt cowboys, round up the ponies on the neighboring island of Assateague and swim them across the bay.
This is the Super Bowl. This is the Daytona 500 all wrapped into one. And when the ponies get here at the corral, you can't throw a rock across this carnival grounds without hitting 10 people. I mean, it's just wall-to-wall people. It's all the people we want. We don't want to expand. We don't want to get any bigger.
About 80 foals are sold at the auction each year. Terry says the others are inspected by veterinarians and returned to the wildlife refuge.
Chincoteague National Wildlife Refuge lies along the Atlantic Flyway, a major route that migratory birds travel between their breeding grounds as far north as the Arctic.
The National Park's Wildlife Center urges visitors hiking the evergreen trails to watch for bald eagles, delicate sika deer, and of course, herds of little misties.
There are ponies here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and it looks like there's a foal out there.
Less cute animals are also in abundance.
Ooh, I just got bit too. Oh, man.
On my back.
We escaped the mosquitoes at a seafood joint with screen porches, where Mom finally got her clams and oysters.
Mmm. Mmm.
Top that off with a little fresh produce on an otherwise uneventful drive home.
Pops, peaches.
Peaches. Produce.
Woo! Strawberries. Snowball. Oh, dude, melons, lopes, tomatoes, barbecues, sweet corn, jambalaya, awesome!
Pop-Pop was out riding his mower when we pulled up at the roadside stand, which he's run with Mrs. Pop-Pop for 15 years.
The cantaloupes have been extremely good this year. The cherries are excellent.
Everything's good.
That's Anita Corbett and her 11-year-old grandson, Josh.
This little man is his first year alone on the register.
What's your favorite kind of snow cone?
I would pick a strawberry banana mixed.
What's the worst kind?
Spearmint, yeah. I am putting the flavoring on the ice, and this ice is unbelievable. It's perfect. It's just like snow.
Out in the hot sun, standing in line, buying snow cones in the summertime, buying snow cone from the snow cone man.
The cool trickle of strawberry and banana is like a perfect bit of American summer on your tongue. A taste of home my mom will remember when she's far away. Netta Ulaby, NPR News.
Pictures from Chincoteague Island and a summary of all the stops on $100 of gas are at our website, npr.org.
Out in the hot sun, standing in line, buying snow cones in the summertime, buying snow cones in the snow cones.